So I put this thing on, huh? I look ridiculous. That's before I put it on. But all right, I will comply. I'm excited to be here. Wait a second. Yes, I'm excited to be here. You know, they always put this thing in there. How do you do this in the coat pocket? I'm going to do that instead. Yeah. What am I supposed to do?
It's on.
All right, I will.
Carry on.
That's not going to happen. I'm kind of a rebel. Today, I'd like you to start out thinking about the idea of doing and being. Doing and being. That's going to come up a lot today. The goal of my thoughts this morning is to hopefully motivate you. Now, when I got this topic and started to think about it, that was the result in me. It's something that motivated me, and hopefully I can share that with you. I'd like us to think about serving. On the internet, which you can find everything on the internet, I found a list of 7 reasons to serve others. I'd like to go through those. 7 reasons. Helping others can help you live longer. Activities in terms of helping others can improve health in ways that can lengthen your lifespan. Volunteers show an improved ability to manage stress and stave off disease, as well as reduced rates of depression and an increased sense of life satisfaction when they perform these acts of service on a regular basis. So it can help you live longer. Altruism is contagious. One study found that people are more likely to perform feats of generosity after observing others do the same. As we go through these, some of these are very common. We're gonna say, yeah, that's the way that it is. But I think they're interesting. Number 3, helping others makes us happy. Americans who describe themselves as very happy volunteered at least 5.8 hours a month. Helping others may help with chronic pain. According to one study, people who suffered from chronic pain tried working as peer volunteers, and as a result, they experienced a reduction in their own symptoms. Helping others lowers blood pressure. One piece of research showed that older individuals who volunteered at least 200 hours a year decreased their risk of hypertension by 40%. Helping others promotes positive behavior in teens. Teenagers who volunteer have better grades and better self-image. Helping others gives us a sense of purpose and satisfaction. Studies show that volunteering enhances an individual's overall sense of purpose and identity. And here's some statistics. People who gave more to charity were 43% more likely than non-givers to say that they were very happy. I will be in the back later. For those of you who like to be very happy, feel free to give me things. Those who volunteered were 42% more likely to be very happy than non-volunteers. People who gave money away, there you go, were 34% more likely than non-givers to say they had felt, to not say they had felt so sad that nothing could cheer them up. They were also 68% less likely to have felt hopeless. There's a couple more studies. In 2008, there was a study that giving money to someone else lifted participants' happiness more than spending it on themselves. In the 2006 study, giving to charities activates regions of the brain associated with pleasure and social connection and trust, creating a warm glow. All kinds of good reasons to serve. I don't think you can argue with any of these things. Some of them are from studies. Good reasons to serve. I would imagine for us as Christians, we can see those things as being good reasons to serve. But I would submit to you that anybody can do these things. Anyone can do all these good things for other people. You don't have to be a Christian to do good things for other people. As Christians, we understand that we need to be servants. So is it different for us? Well, of course it's different for us. So how is it different for us? There's some things I'd like you to consider this morning. Is serving others the same thing for Christians as it is for non-Christians? Or is it something that's different? What really motivates us to serve, or what should really motivate us to serve? Is it possible that Christians view service and good deeds in too narrow of a way? Those are some things I'd like to go through this morning. First of all, I think that we need to look at the prime example of service. And we all know that the prime example of service is Christ. In Mark, the 10th chapter, in the 45th verse, it says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Christ came to serve. You consider who Christ was, and he came to serve. Now he's being served, but when he came to this earth, he came to serve. Let's consider what Christ did. In his life here on earth, Christ did many things that were very amazing. You know, he healed those that were sick. He fed those that were hungry. He raised some from the dead. But I would submit to you that Christ did much more than just those things. Those, the miracles that he was involved, were involved in, they were fantastic. But Christ did more than that. Everything that Christ did while he was on this earth was an act of service. And it could be an example to us. Now, I'm not going to tell you that I believe that we are called to serve in exactly the same way that Christ was called to serve. But I do know as Christians we are called to serve. And it's something we really need to consider. In Galatians, the 5th chapter, and I'm going to go to Galatians, the 5th chapter, a couple different times today. But in Galatians, the 5th chapter, in the 13th verse, it says, "For you were called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." Serve one another. Through love, serve one another. We're called to serve one another. That's an important thing for us to be able to understand. We should realize that the world always needs us as Christians to be servants. God needs us for that. God desires us to do that. He's created us for that. I think that the world is all kinds of messed up. That's the way I would kind of describe it. It's all kinds of messed up. And at the core of all that being messed up is selfishness. Thinking more about self than others. Those from Laverne will know that this is one of my pet peeves, is people saying, "Oh my goodness, the world is so much horrible today than it has ever been before." It's just not historically accurate. It's not even biblically accurate. But the world's not good. We shouldn't all get caught up in thinking everything is so bad, so much worse than another time. We should be considering what we need to do, because there's an answer. However, culture does go through cycles. I would say that we're in a cycle today when there probably is a bit more selfishness and narcissism than there needs to be. And whether it's been that way before or not is really not the point. We should realize that that's a temptation to us as Christians. When we see all this selfishness, all this self-centeredness that's around us, we can be tempted to be the same way. Because there's definitely appeal to that. There's definitely appeal to get caught up in serving ourselves versus serving others. Get caught up in serving ourselves versus serving God. So it's something we should be cautious about. I want to go to Philippians, the second chapter. And this particular verse I'm going to read from the New English Translation. And it's a fantastic translation of this particular verse. "Instead of being motivated by selfish ambition or vanity, each of you should in humility be moved to treat one another as more important than yourself." I'm going to read that one more time because it's so good. "Instead of being motivated by selfish ambition or vanity, each of you, each of us, all of us, in humility should be moved to treat one another as more important than yourself." As Christians, we need to be moved to treat others the right way. We need to be moved to serve the way that we should. Found a paragraph written by somebody who I have no idea who they are, but it was something that was very good in terms of describing a servant, the type of servant that we need to be. The person's name is Hampton Keithley. "Servanthood is the state, condition, or quality of one who lives as a servant. Further, a servant is first of all one who is under submission to another. For Christians, this means submission to God first, and then submission to one another. Then, as one in submission, A servant is one who seeks to meet the real needs of others or of the person he is serving. To put it another way, servanthood is the condition or state of being a servant to others, of ministry to others, rather than service of self. It means willingly giving of oneself to minister for and to others and do whatever it takes to accomplish what is best for another. As Christians, we're called to serve God, to serve Christ first. And then we're called to serve others. And it's very clear. It's important that we do that. And I think that oftentimes we can mistake what serving the proper way really is. You know, we can go out and we can feed somebody that is homeless. We can provide financial assistance to somebody who needs it. We can help someone that is in need for some reason. And those are all great things to do. Those are things that we should do. But our service as Christians goes beyond that. And that gets to the idea of doing versus being. We can do all kinds of things in terms of being a servant. That's great. But we need to be a servant. Galatians, the fifth chapter, and starting in the 22nd verse, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit that comes from the Spirit that God has placed within us as Christians. This is what it is. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. All those traits, those are the traits of a servant that serves the way that God wants us to serve. When we have those traits in our life that come from God through the Spirit, that's where they come from. When we have those in our life, we're going to be serving the way that God wants us to serve. So we can go do things for other people, and we should. We should do things for each other. We should serve in that way. But we need to serve with these traits in our life. It needs to be what we're about. The heart of a servant, the actions of a servant, are being like Christ. And that's why we can see Christ as such a good example to us. Back in Philippians, the second chapter, it says, you should have the same attitude toward one another that Christ Jesus had. So what attitude did Christ Jesus have? Christ Jesus was God. He was in heaven. He, in a sense, was in a perfect situation, a place where we all desired to be. But it says that he humbled himself and he became a servant. He did that for us. Now, we can never serve at that level, but we should use that as a motivation for ourselves to be servants. Glenn Campbell just recently died, and I wasn't a gigantic Glenn Campbell fan, but he wrote one song, and it's, I don't know if you have the special sacred selections here, but it's in that book, and it's a really good song. And I don't know what his motivation for the song was at all. I don't know if it was a spiritual motivation. I don't know if he just liked the words, the song is Less of Me, and I want to just read a few words from that. I rarely read a song, songs in a sermon, but I think this really makes a good point. Let me be a little kinder. Let me be a little blinder to the faults of those about me. Let me praise a little more. Let me be, when I am weary, just a little bit more cheery. Think a little more of others and a little less of me. Let me be a little meeker with a brother that is weaker. Let me think more of my neighbor and a little less of me. That's pretty good advice, isn't it? Now, whether or not Glenn Campbell wrote those words inspired by the scriptures, I don't know. But it's good advice. It's good scriptural advice, no matter where he got it. And I, as a side note, there's a lot of young families here. And you get gray hair, you get a little bit older. Piece of advice, and you've got great kids here. I think as a parent, one of the most important things that you can teach your children are some of the things that are pointed out in this particular song. Respect of others. You teach your children respect of others. That's a basic that leads you into the life of a Christian. Somebody who is a little kinder. Another valuable thing to teach, and as adults we need to learn this too, is being a little blinder to the faults of those about me. And the next line of that song is let me praise a little more. If we're doing enough praising, we're going to be blind to the faults of those around us, and we're going to be thinking about, what should I do? And that's what I want us to be motivated about today. What can I do to serve more? So what do people see in us? What do people see in us that know that we're Christians, And they might look at us and say, well, I know they're a Christian, but what do they see in us? Sometimes we might refer to this type of thing as personal evangelism. So what does personal evangelism include? Now, if I were to ask that question, I might answer this way. How do we evangelize? Well, we might say that, well, we interact with others. We might share a scripture with them. We might offer to study with them. We might invite them to services with us. We might do this. Those are all great things to do. But there are other things that we can do also that we need to keep in mind. I want to tell you a little story. Now, this is a true story. I was visiting with a man one time, and this man's neighbor had just died recently. And his neighbor was a strong Christian. His neighbor is the kind of person that people would look at and said, that person lived a Christian life. And this neighbor said to me, he said, I respected that man so much. I was never into the church type of thing myself, but I knew that he was. And we were still such good friends. He said, I can never remember a time when that man ever felt that he was judging me. I can never recall a time when I felt that man was preaching at me, and he always had such kindness. And then he stopped and said, well, I guess maybe that was preaching, wasn't it? Well, a few years later, I was reading an obituary in the newspaper, because that's another thing that you do when you get older, I guess. But it was the obituary of this non-churchgoer. And I don't know all the details, but one of the things that it said in his obituary is he enjoyed spending time with his friends at church. So I don't know whether the example of this Christian compelled this man to start to attend services. I don't know. Maybe he didn't attend very often in the past, and he said, I'm not much of a churchgoer, but because he didn't go very often. I don't know what the situation was, but it taught me something very valuable about the way that we live our lives and the idea of serving. And that is that the fruit of the Spirit is extremely powerful. Sometimes we just think about the fruit of the Spirit. These are all great traits that we should have, but the fruit of the Spirit is powerful. We shouldn't think about the fruit of the Spirit being things that we do. It's Christ living in us. And when Christ lives in us, we're going to make a tremendous impact on others. Not because of anything that we do, other than doing what God wants us to do, doing what Christ wants us to do. The fruit of the Spirit is extremely powerful. Our action, when powered by Christ, is going to be very impactful. And we need to take that seriously, I think. So what motivates us to serve? There's a story that occurs in three of the Gospels. It occurs in Mark, Matthew, and Luke. And it's the story of Peter's mother-in-law. Peter's mother-in-law, she's somewhat older than Peter, and she was sick. She was very sick. Said that she had a fever. And I think that she was on her deathbed. I think that she was headed for death. I think she was that ill. But it says that Jesus took her hand, and immediately her fever went away. She was completely healed. Now, those that followed Jesus knew that he could do miracles before this, right? But Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law. And her first thought, after she'd been healed, was to go serve. And this is what it says. So he bent over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up at once and began to wait on them. She began to serve. And I want us to consider for a few moments today what her motivation must have been. Was her motivation to get up and serve simply to thank Jesus? It could have been, but I don't think that it was. If it was just to thank Jesus, she could have said, thank you, Jesus. She could have praised Jesus for healing her. But she got up immediately and went to serve. When she went to serve, was it to repay Jesus for what he did? I don't think that it was. You couldn't repay. How could you repay someone for healing you? Where you felt horrible and then the next moment you were fine. I think that she went back to serving because that's what she knew how to do. That's what I think. I believe she did it because she was just a servant at heart. There's a similar story. And it's a story, very ironically, Peter was involved in this story also. And it's the story of Dorcas or Tabitha. Peter was at Joppa, and Dorcas had just died. And her friends were very sad. They said that they showed her, Peter, the robes and the clothes that she had made. I get the impression that maybe she died before her time, that she wasn't super old because they were very sad. They missed her. And do you think that they missed the clothes that she made? Or do you think they missed her? I think they missed her because she was such a fantastic servant. Anyway, the power of God, Peter raised her from the dead. And it doesn't say what she did next, but I think I know what she did next. She went back to doing exactly what she'd been doing before. She went back to serving, because I think she was about being a servant, just like Peter's mother-in-law was. Now that I'm better, that's the topic of the sermon this morning. Now that I'm better. So I think officially I can take this off now, right? Now that I'm better, don't need the doctor anymore. I am better. Do we live our lives like we have been healed? Do we live our lives like we've been saved? Each of us needs to self-examine ourselves and ask ourselves that question. Do we live like we're not sick anymore? As Christians, we should think about that. Peter also healed a lame man. This is not long after the church was established on the day of Pentecost, and Peter and John were walking together. They were going to the temple, and there was a lame man, and the lame man was asking for money. And Peter said to the lame man, "I don't have any silver or gold. I don't have any money with me, but I've got something better for you." And he was healed. Now, what do you think that Peter had that was better than money? The healing, maybe. What Peter had that was better was Christ. That's an important part of that story that we need to get. The thing that was better was Christ. The response of that man was that he jumped to his feet. Think how excited he must have been. He jumped to his feet and he began to walk. Then he went with them to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. I think that he was motivated, or I believe that he was motivated to serve most because he understood the power that came through Christ. He was excited. Here's the point of our service. We, like Peter's mother, were on our deathbed. We were headed for certain death. We had no hope. We were absolutely doomed. But Christ stepped in, and he provided us healing by his death on the cross. And that should be our motivation for service. Our motivation for service should be because we're given such a great example by Christ's service, and he desires that in us. He's created us for that. It matters why we're motivated. So just like Peter's mother-in-law, we need to be motivated to get up and serve when we realize that we've been healed. That should be our response when we understand the value of our sins being washed away through Christ's death on the cross. We should get up and serve like Peter's mother-in-law did. We should get up and serve like I think we all believe that Dorcas did. We should jump and leap and praise God like the lame man did. 1 Peter, the second chapter and the 24th verse says, "He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed." Now that we're better, by his wounds we are healed. Think about that. Ephesians, the second chapter and first 10 verses, is very applicable to this idea. And it kind of tells this entire story. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." That's where everyone is. Without Christ, that's where we all are. We're dead. We're absolutely dead. We're headed for death in transgressions and sins. "In which you used to live in while you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air." It goes down a few verses and says, "But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions." A few more verses down, it says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Talking about this idea of grace and works is great. That can be a different topic for everyone, but that last verse is something I would like us to focus on. Because it tells us what we are as Christians. We are God's workmanship, and we're created in Christ Jesus, and what are we created to do? We're created to do good works. We're created to do service. That's what we're created to do. We should realize that. We are created to serve. You know, this is a great topic. I'm so glad that I got this topic. Because it means, it's something I think that should mean a lot to all of us. Now that I'm better. Because we have the answer. We have the answer of what we should do now that we're better. I'd like you to think of a time in your life when you were very ill. Charles, I think that you're going to have, you have one very recent. Think of a time in your life where you're the most ill that you ever were. I'm going to tell you what mine was. I was about 30 years old. Mason was in daycare, and chickenpox was going around daycare. Now, I had had kind of a cavalier attitude before, going, hey, I never had any of the childhood diseases. And I got a little bit worried when Mason got the chickenpox. And I got them. Now, they say that when you get the chickenpox, it's really bad to get them as an adult. It's really bad to get them as an adult. It was awful. I told Tina on several different occasions, I think I'm going to die. And I don't think it was much hyperbole. I felt awful. I don't remember itching one time. People talk about the chicken pox and itching. I just remember being completely out of it. So tired that it was hard to walk across the room. And I'm not complaining. I'm just using this as an example. Laying in bed and not really wanting to eat at all. Just feeling horrible for like a week. And being kind of depressed because I felt so bad. You know, when I got better, however, you know what I didn't do? When I got better, I didn't lay in bed and continue to watch average and below average TV. I didn't get tired walking across the room. I didn't eat limited portions because that's all I felt like eating. When I felt better, I went out and I did things. I went to work. I went and produced. I went out and did something active because I was better. I didn't act the way that I acted when I was ill. As Christians, I think we need to look at our lives in that same way. Are we acting the way we acted in terms of serving before the way we acted before we were Christians, before we were actually healed from our disease? We should not do that. We should realize how fortunate we are. We should not continue to live like we're still sick in sin because we have been provided salvation. So we should have joy in our life. We should have service in our life. We should have an active faith in our life. We should live like that we have been saved. And we should also understand that our service as Christians is never a burden. Any service that we do should never feel like it's a burden because it's not a burden at all. It's a blessing. Galatians, the 5th chapter, one more time. And the first verse says, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free." It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. You know, Paul's message there to the churches in Galatia was circulated around this idea that some of them were still caught up in some of the old law. Following, actually, I think what they were doing is picking and choosing what they wanted to follow in the old law. And Paul's message to them is there's a problem with that. And I think essentially Paul's message in that was, you're missing the value of Christ. You're living the way that you used to live. Don't live the way that you used to live because you're missing the value of Christ. And that's how I want us to look at service. If we've been baptized into Christ, we've been saved. We've been healed. Why would in the world would we want to live in a way like we've not been saved, like we've not been healed? Why would we want to live a life that isn't a life of service when that's the way it is for those that have not been saved? We should be living as we've been saved. We should be living as we are God's children. We should live as we are joiners with Christ. We should be living in all those things because that's what we are. We are joiners with Christ. We are God's children. We have been saved. We should be living that way. We should be living to serve. I want to close all this up by offering an invitation to those who have not given their life to Christ through baptism. I want to read a couple of verses here, one verse here. If anyone serves me, this is Jesus speaking, if anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So if you're a Christian, if you've been baptized, if you are saved, you have a living hope. A hope that is with you all the time. A hope of eternal life. And you should be living, we should be living, like we have been healed. And we should be living like we're better. That's how we should be living. But if you've not accepted Christ in your life, if you've not been baptized, there's an invitation that is open to you now. It's open to you anytime. It's not just now, it's at any time. And you don't need a bunch of people around, you need somebody else who can baptize you. But if you've not accepted Christ, if you've not obeyed the gospel, you're a little bit like Peter's mother-in-law. You're ill. You have a sickness that there's only one way for you to be healed, and that way is Christ. In obeying Christ's desire for your life, which is to be baptized into his name, confess your sins. And something else you need to know, if you're not in that situation of salvation, is that there's nobody here in this building at all that thinks any less of you because of that. Raise your hand if you think less of anybody. See, there's not one person that thinks any less of you. Because those that were around Peter's mother-in-law, do you think they felt less of her? Oh, she has a fever. Let's think less of her. They didn't think less of her at all. You know, they were concerned about her. Those that were around Dorcas, they weren't. They were sad because they were concerned that she wasn't with them anymore. It was concern. And that's the feeling that we have for you today. And just like Peter's family wanted the mother-in-law to be better, we want you to be better also. And we offer the invitation for anyone who might need it as we sing the final song.
6:35.